Well, today we're talking about the solid rock. We had a lot of great songs there talking about a firm foundation and the solid rock. And as I was preparing for this message, I started thinking about the opposite of that. So I have some pictures of sinkholes. I started looking into this and they just fascinated me and terrified me, I guess, but they're fascinating. So there's a sinkhole. There's one. I found lots that are just eating houses. That guy's boat, maybe if it was Pastor Bob, he might be more concerned about his boat than his house. It's crazy. They just open up and just swallow houses, roads, buildings, all kinds of stuff. This one's in Russia, and it's just, you know, hundreds of feet across. Those little square boxes are houses next to it. Anyway, it's just crazy. Today's sermon I'm calling Storms, Sinkholes, and Solid Ground. And the question I want to ask of each of us is, what kind of life are we building? And where are we building that life? On what kind of foundation? And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, he says this in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And what strikes me in this passage, well, lots of things strike me in this passage. This is where we're primarily going to stay today. But one of the things that I notice is that the things that are coming against the house, the two different houses built by the wise and foolish builders, are exactly the same. They're exactly the same. The rain comes in torrents. The floodwaters rise, or the streams rise, and the wind beats against the house. Those three things happen to both houses. The language is exactly the same. It's repeated verbatim in both of his sentences, talking about different builders. And the idea here is clear. There are going to be storms. In life, there are going to be storms. There are going to be times when life is just going to seem like it's out to get you. No matter where you build a house, storms are going to come. No matter what kind of life you choose to lead, life is still going to bring them. That much is guaranteed. There's going to be days when you're too overwhelmed with everything going on to even cope with it. You know, we won't know what to do. There's going to be days when it feels like life is just kicking us in the teeth. There's going to be times when there's some extra month left at the end of the paycheck instead of the other way around. We've all had those times. There's going to be days when you get a phone call that you never expected and you never wanted, and to get news that you'd rather not hear. There's going to be car crashes. There's going to be bad diagnoses. I'm not sure how to say that. I'm talking to several doctors in this room, so you can correct me later. But there's going to be people who break our hearts, people who betray us, heartache, hurt. There's going to be death and depression and dental bills. Life is going to happen. Storms are going to come. That much is guaranteed. What isn't guaranteed is whether or not we will stand through it. Jesus makes that very clear. We're going to be hit with the same things. Are you going to stand? Is your life going to stand? It reminds me of a totally different story, and yet it's a very similar story that we all grew up with, which is the story of the three little pigs, right? And all three of the pigs' houses faced the exact same threat. The big bad wolf came to huff and to puff and to blow their house down. And it was exactly the same. And what I think is interesting about that from a biblical perspective is that we believe that there is an enemy of our souls that's going to come after us. There is a big bad wolf. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So not only are there storms that are going to come because life just happens, but there's an enemy that is going to actively seek to destroy us and tear us down. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, build on my teachings and no storms will come near you. You'll have clear skies. Everything will be fine. You'll never hurt again. Everything will go your way and you'll never have a rough day again. Jesus doesn't say anything even remotely close to that, really ever, here or anywhere else. What he says is, storms are going to come, and if you're not prepared, if you haven't built your life on the right foundation, it will destroy you. So I want to come back to sinkholes, because it's not just the storms that destroy us. We kind of expect that. You know, you see on the news when they have a hurricane or something like that, and you see the beachfront properties and these huge mansions, and they're just destroyed, and you're thinking, what are you people thinking? Like, you had to see this coming a little bit, right? This happens every year. We can predict this. Why are you building in a place that's so unstable? And so we expect storms in our life. We expect that to a certain degree. But that's not the only thing that destroys houses. We had all those pictures of houses that were just sucked into the ground, right? This is why this fascinated me so much. So I looked into what causes a sinkhole. You know, what causes something like this to happen? And there's lots of different things, so I'm going to really oversimplify it. And if you want to read about it and educate yourself more in depth, then please do that and read about it. But basically, the most common thing that happens is erosion. There's rainwater. Sometimes it's accelerated by floods or something like that. Sometimes it can be a man-made cause with leaking water mains or sewer pipes. But mainly what happens is it slowly eats away at the rock beneath whatever you've built is on. And so that takes little by little tiny pieces, a little bit at a time, and it creates cavities and creates caves and caverns and these big holes underground beneath what you've built. And sooner or later, it's going to collapse. It can't hold the weight of what's above it anymore. And it looks fine. That's what's interesting. You know, it looks fine on the surface. Everything is there. It's level. It's holding up. But then there's a day when all of a sudden, one little bit too heavy, one little bit of foundation gets taken away too much. And it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. So we're looking out for big failures. We're watching out for big storms. One of the things we need to also watch out for are the small choices we make every day. Because those little choices will either continue to build upon a good foundation, or they're going to slowly erode the foundation. We make all these little choices every day, these tiny challenges to our faith. The temptation to cheat on our taxes, it doesn't seem like a big deal. The temptation to give in to that frustration I have with that person. And instead of just being frustrated, which is natural, I'm going to start to hate them. And I'm going to start to think about all the things I'd tell them if I ever got a chance. But I would never say that. I would never tell them that. I just want to think about it and start to hate that person. The temptation to lust just a little bit. The temptation to tell a little white lie. Just, you know, because it's going to get me ahead and it's not really going to hurt anybody. And these decisions don't seem like huge things, but they build up. And they're either building more onto the solid foundation, or they're taking little bits of that foundation with it, with every choice. And sooner or later, something's going to give. Something's going to collapse. Just like erosion, the water takes tiny, imperceptible particles with it as it goes. And with sinkholes, it can take decades or even hundreds of years for this to happen. And then one day, it's just too much and it collapses. And everything can seem fine for a long time, but one day it's going to collapse. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, wrote these words, "Good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later You may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. An apparently trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is the loss of a ridge or a railway line or a bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. These little decisions matter. And erosion matters. I have a couple more pictures here I've been saving. This sinkhole, when I first saw this, I didn't think it was real. It looks like it's photoshopped. This is in Guatemala City, Guatemala, and this sinkhole happened in 2010 is when it collapsed. But they looked into this, and you can go on and online and read about it. It's a real thing. They looked into this, and what they determined was the cause of this was that there was lax city codes involving the pipes, sewer pipes, water mains, and things like that, and they were leaking. They weren't being inspected properly, and if they were inspected properly, they weren't being repaired properly. And then a storm came. There was a tropical storm that came in from the coast, and it had 45-mile-an-hour winds and lots of rain. And I hear 45-mile-an-hour winds, and I think, okay, that's stormy, but it's not like a knock-your-house-down storm. It's not a, you know, hundreds-of-feet-deep sinkhole storm. But it wasn't just the storm that did it. There was erosion because they were ignoring what they should have been paying attention to. There were leaks going on in their foundation that they weren't paying attention to and they weren't fixing. And when the storms come, and we know storms will come, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, and it was too much, and there it went. And the damage had already been done. So where do we build? You know, Jesus said, when you hear these words of mine and you put them into practice, that's like building on a good foundation. That's the only foundation that will last. The life and the teachings of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only thing that we can build our lives upon that's not going to collapse one day. Because it's not only the strength and weakness of our faith that determines whether we will fail or not. It's who we have faith in. We don't stand firm because of our own strength, because I'm such a faith-filled person and I work so hard to love Jesus so much, and so I'm going to stand firm when there's storms that come. It's not because of that. It's because of who I have faith in. It's where I'm standing. I want to show you something, a little picture here. I'm going to move this out of the way. So, it's not how much faith you have, it's what you have faith in. So, I'm going to say that faith is like putting your weight into something. If I'm going to step on this stage and I don't really have faith in it, I'm going to walk pretty gingerly, right? I'm going to test it and put a little weight. If I really trust it, which I do, I'm going to put my whole weight on it. So, this little rock that I got in the parking lot is a little bit of faith. I'm going to put a little weight. This brick is a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith in something. So, what we're going to test is a lot of faith. Well, first I'm going to do a lot of faith in a bad foundation, okay? I made a really handy foundation out of index cards. Okay, you ready? So I have a lot of faith that this is going to hold up what I put on it. So I'm going to put a lot of trust and faith in that, and we're going to see how that goes. Okay, that was probably pretty predictable, right? So we're going to get rid of this bad foundation. A lot of faith in the wrong thing doesn't do you any good. Faith in anything but Jesus Christ doesn't do you any good. So here's maybe a little bit better foundation. And I'm going to put a little tiny bit of faith in a strong foundation and see if it holds up. Ready? It held. And what's interesting about that is if I put a little bit of faith in the right thing, I'll find out that it holds, and I can put a little bit more faith. And I can say, well, I can maybe trust God a little more and put more. And then I can say, you know what? I think I can trust God with everything. And I can put all of my weight, all of my trust, all my whole life and say, you know what? God, you are a sure, firm foundation. And what I trust to you, I know will stand firm. I've seen people in this church, but I won't share stories because they're your stories and they're yours to share. But I'll share a story about a woman named Rhonda. Rhonda was one of my Sunday school teachers when I was a kid. She was in the church when I grew up. She still is there. It's one of those people that you look back and you think, man, she was an old lady when I was a kid. So, man, either she's really old now or maybe she wasn't really that old when I was a kid. But Rhonda was just, sorry, I don't know why I'm saying was. Rhonda is just a wonderful woman of faith. And when I was in college, Rhonda got diagnosed with breast cancer. And she went through surgery and chemo and all those treatments and the whole shebang and lost her hair and all of that. And then I was back. I wasn't there, and obviously, every week in college. I lived, you know, out of town, out of state. But I was back, and she shared some of her testimony. And she got up, and she was smiling and laughing and praising God and saying, if I hadn't had cancer, God would have never brought me close to him like he has. And I'm praising God for my cancer. See, a huge storm hit her. And it didn't take her out. I'm not saying that was easy. I'm not saying that wasn't probably one of the hardest things she's ever done. But her foundation was on Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, and I know stories from lots of you too, where you've had storms come and you've had losses of loved ones. You've had sicknesses like that. And because of your faith in Christ, not because of how good of a person you are, not because of how awesome you are and how cheery and happy you can be on the outside, but because you had your faith on a foundation that's solid. The storms didn't destroy you. And I've also seen people who got hit with storms in life that maybe weren't even quite as intense as something like that. Still bad, still hurtful, still scary. But something that might be a lesser storm, and then they get totally taken out because they didn't have their faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Jesus works. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Well, what words? When he says these words, he's just wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. And if you flip back, he has a lot of teaching. You could preach for a year in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's the bullet points, okay? Here's what he says. Give to the needy in secret. Not for show, not to say, look how good of a person I am. I gave so much money to these people who needed help. Look at me, I'm a good person. If you're going to give, give secretly, and God will bless you. Same thing for praying. When you're praying, you're doing it to speak to God and to know God, not to show off. Don't stand up in church or go to church and, let me pray and make it about you and make yourself sound fancy and use big words to draw attention to yourself. Praying is about communicating with God. If you're going to fast to know God better, not to make yourself look better. Value serving God more than money. Turn your worries into prayers. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, because God will take care of you if you put him first. Talks about loving the sinner and hating your own sin. We usually hear love the sinner, hate the sin, but Jesus said, how can you take the speck out of someone else's eye when you have a log in your own? You need to hate the sin in your own eye, in your own life. To seek after God with persistence, to ask God for what we need, to enter through the narrow gate, to not look for the easy way, but to look for the right way. To bear fruit in obedience to God. And to love God with our actions and not just our words. And there's a lot more in there. Those are some bullet points of the Sermon on the Mount. And then he ends it with this story of the wise and foolish builders. And he says, if you hear these words and do them, you're going to have a solid foundation. So several things. If we're going to do the words and the work of Christ, first thing I think we need to do is stop and think and ask ourselves, where am I building my life? Because we might be thinking, I'm building my life on the solid rock of Christ. We might think, you know what? I'm doing it right. I'm trusting God. But it doesn't hurt to stop and look around and say, what foundation have I really chosen? Do I trust money more than I trust God? Do I trust my job more than I trust God? Do I trust my abilities more than I trust God? Evaluate yourselves and look at, where am I really? Those houses over sinkholes weren't necessarily bad houses. They were probably built correctly. They were probably up to code. They probably passed inspections. It wasn't about how well the house was built or how hard the workers who built it worked or how much time the designer put into designing the house. All that mattered was that the foundation didn't last. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It doesn't matter how hard you work in life, how hard you try to build a good life for yourself and do the right things and be a good person. If it's not built on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. You could be the most successful person there ever was, and in the end, it won't matter. You could have it all and have nothing. Jesus said, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You can have it all and totally miss it. We've all heard the three most important rules of real estate, right? Location, location, location. Where are you building? You can have a fantastic house in a terrible location, and you're going to, if you try to sell that, it's going to be a while. It might be fabulous. Doesn't matter. No matter how good of a life you're building, if it's not built on Christ, it doesn't matter. You have to stop and say, if I'm not building in the right spot, maybe I need to stop, put my tools down, surrender to God, and say, God, I'm abandoning this house, and I'm going to start a new one. I'm abandoning my life that's been devoted to the wrong things and built in the wrong places. I'm going to put my faith in you instead and start over. I have another C.S. Lewis quote. I didn't mean to do a lot of these, but they were just very fitting. And C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, says, progress means getting nearer to the place you want to be. If you've taken a wrong turning, then to go forward does not get you any nearer. If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn, walking back to the right road, and in that case, the man who turns back the soonest is the most progressive man. You want to have progress in your life, you got to make sure you're on the right road. And if you need to turn around, that's the first step. That's what I would call salvation, to look around and say, I'm on the wrong path. I'm building my life on a foundation that's not going to last. To recognize that, to ask God for forgiveness and to turn around and say, God, I want to build my life on your foundation. Until we admit that, we won't get anywhere. And then we have to surrender to God's will in our lives. John 1:12 said, to all those who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. John's saying, when you come to Christ, when you say, I'm going to give my life to you, that's a new start. It's like being born again. That's a word that has been, very familiar. Born again has become a term that we're very used to, but to start over. To say, I'm going to begin again following God. I got to wondering about the words that Jesus has used when he says, if you listen to me and then do what I say, what do those words mean? What is it, when he says listen, what does he mean? And sometimes when we translate the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, we lose some things. And so I thought, well, I'll look it up. And so, you know, it's very fascinating. You look up the word listen, and this is going to blow your mind. It means listen. But it doesn't just mean to hear. It doesn't just mean that, you know, airwaves move and it comes into my ear and jiggles the little bones in my ear and then I hear it. It means that I'm thinking about it. It means to consider, to let it sit in your mind for a while. It also means to understand or to perceive something. Say, I see that. If we're going to be people building on the rock of Christ, we have to listen. We have to spend time knowing what Jesus said. What does the Bible say? Where can I find some wisdom for my life today? And it also means we need to keep listening to what God is still saying. To mean that we're spending time in prayer. To mean that we're listening and we're receptive to the Holy Spirit. So that when he prompts us and says, you shouldn't be doing that, or why don't you do this? You say, okay, and you're able to do it because you heard it in the first place, because you were listening. And then the second part of that is to do, to follow, or to put into practice. And again, this is a shocker. If you look up the word do in the Greek, it means do. If you're gonna do it, it means do. But what I thought was interesting, and why I even bring that up, is that it's also used in other contexts to mean build or to make or to take something and make something out of it. And if we take Jesus' teachings, we take what he has showed us the way we should live and say, that's where I'm going to build, that's my foundation, and I'm going to take what Jesus has taught and make my life out of those things. Not in a picking and choosing sort of way, but to say, my only raw materials are coming from God, and that's where I'm going to build. I'm going to make my life out of the teachings of God. I love that imagery. It's building. I love that. And we have our memory verse for this month, which is Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. When we commit our actions to him and say, you know what, I'm doing it your way, I'm tired of my way, it's not working, then your plans are going to succeed. And then I want to ask us, what kind of house are we building? There's all different kinds of houses we can build. If you look, I looked up a list and I pulled a few of ones that I had heard of. If you look up different kinds of houses, there's tons of them. I didn't even heard of lots of them. You could have a colonial, Victorian, townhouse, loft, a bungalow, cottage, farmhouse, ranch style, log cabin, mobile home. Okay, you can have a lot of different kinds of houses. But here's the thing. More important than the style of the house or how nice it is or the quality of the house itself is the foundation. But the house is also important. We all have different houses. We all have different sizes houses. We all have different styles. We have houses that fit our needs. We have houses that fit our budget. We have houses that fit, you know, our lives. They're us. But I bet you care a whole lot more about whether or not it's going to collapse in the middle of the night than how nice it is. I know I do. I'd rather be in a shack that's going to stand there than a mansion that's going to fall in on me. And we're all different. And spiritually, you have the same truth that God has given us all different kinds of lives to lead. And as long as we're building on the solid foundation of Christ, then that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And he creates us so differently. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Different kinds of service, but we have the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does all of the work in us. And then later in that chapter, he says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And so our lives are going to look very different. And if you look around this room at the occupations of those in this room, they're very, very different. We have farmers and teachers and doctors and everything in between. But if you're all building your life on the foundation of Christ, we're all part of the church, all part of the body of Christ. There's similar language. This isn't the only place Jesus talks about building on the rock. The other place is when Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say I am? And then he says, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're right, and I'm going to call you Peter, because Peter means rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And what he means is, not only was Peter a church father, and that's part of what that means, but that declaration of faith is what the church is built on, to say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And on that declaration of faith, I will build my church. And then what does he say about his church? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Sounds a lot like a house built on a rock, and when the storms come, it doesn't knock it down. Because we're not just building our own lives, we're part of something bigger, we're part of the church. And then Peter, later in his life, as he writes a letter, in 1 Peter 2, I almost said 2 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2. Peter uses a lot of this same language, and I wonder if he's thinking back to when Jesus said, I will build my church on the rock. Peter says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the scriptures, it says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Sounds really familiar. Sounds a lot like the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Sounds a lot like when the storms and the rain and the floodwaters rise, that house will stand firm. It's Peter's confession. It's that idea that God, you are the only foundation on which I will stand. That's what will build the church. In the second service, we'll be talking to the graduates a little bit, talking about where they're going, what they're doing. And my charge to them is, wherever you go, whatever you do, have that foundation of Jesus Christ. But you know, that's a great message for seniors, I think, for people going out of high school. But man, we all need to hear that. We all need to hear that it doesn't matter how hard we work on building something. If it's not built on Christ, it won't last. Consider yourselves. I need to look at my life and say, where am I building? And if I'm building in the wrong place, the fastest way to get to the right place is to say, I'm in the wrong spot. Or maybe you've been building in the right place and you have your foundation on Jesus Christ, but there's some leaks. There's some little things that we've been letting go. Some small compromises that we've made in areas we know we shouldn't have. And those leaks we've kind of been ignoring, kind of hoping it'll go away on its own, or that it won't be a big deal. And maybe if we're sure we've built on the right foundation, the next step is to say, how am I building on that foundation? And am I continuing to honor God in my daily life with my small choices, my small decisions, my small challenges to my faith? And whatever we do, wherever we go, to do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever kind of life we are building, build it on the rock. when God calls, when God gives us direction of what he wants us to do or where he wants us to go. I hope that we remember that we say, I'm going to follow, I'm going to obey. I'm going to build my life on the one true foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that you have laid a foundation upon which we can build something that will last. I thank you for your sacrifice that made that possible. God, I pray that you would help us to listen, to turn around, and to trust you with our lives. And God, I just pray that as we build our lives, that you would be honored in the big decisions, in the small decisions. And when those storms come, that we will stand firm, and it will only be because we know who you are. And we've built our lives upon you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.